to me, it feels just kind of like a rough demo of, we're going to try and sing this song together. But I don't get a lot of deep emotion from Peter or Kate on their version. The Roy Harper version feels kind of, it's a proper folk song. It's a proper British country song. It's someone telling a personal story, and it does all fit together for me. I really don't feel like it works as a duet.
Welcome to Strange Phenomena, Music of Kate Bush. I'm Cecily Link, and this week we're finishing up the Lionheart era with a song that was only ever done for the Christmas special, Peter Gabriel and Kate Bush singing on a song called Another Day, originally by Roy Harper.
The kettle's on, the sun has gone, another day. She offers me Tibetan tea on a flower tray. She's at the door, she wants to scold. She dearly needs to say,
talk about the song this week is somebody who hasn't been up here to record an episode with me since October last year.
Has it really been that long?
Yes, it has, because the last time you talked with me was on Room for the Life, and that was in October.
Oh, wow.
It was right before I released this project and went, oh my goodness, I have a big task ahead of me.
It's okay. It's just going to consume the next years of your life.
Only maybe 2 or 3 years, but anyway. Who are we talking with here?
Hello, this is Andrew Link, her husband.
Of course! And resident Peter Gabriel fan!
Well, you like Peter Gabriel too, but
yes. Oh, yes, I do. Of course, yes.
I very much do like Peter Gabriel's music. We were just talking about Peter Gabriel versus Phil Collins versus whoever the lead singer of Red 7 is just the last couple days.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, Red 7. The reason we were talking about Red 7 is because we watched the movie, rewatched the movie Manhunter. And the last song that plays in the movie over the ending credits was by a group named Red 7. And you and I both looked at each other like, is this Peter Gabriel? What is this? Because it sounded so much like him, but no, it wasn't.
Well, yeah, the lead singer's voice runs that exact line halfway between Phil Collins and Peter Gabriel, where I absolutely could not tell that it's like, is this one of them? Is this both of them? It really felt like something that could have been a Genesis outtake. So,
of course, it was produced by Mike Rutherford, who did produce for and was a part of Genesis.
That explains a lot.
Explains it. Anyway, so today we're going to be talking about a song that, Peter Gabriel didn't write it. Kate Bush didn't write it. It was written by an English folk artist named Roy Harper, who, honestly, I only know of because he and Kate Bush...
He does the best version of this
song? I don't know. We'll get into that. So Roy Harper, I had to look up who this guy was because I've only ever heard of him because he collaborated with Kate. And obviously he wrote this song. that he's basically an English folk musician. He's been going since the mid-60s. And he wrote the song that Kate and Peter sang for her Christmas special.
So tell me more about that Christmas special. I might have missed it in the intervening episodes, but when did this special happen? Why is it that there was a collaboration between Kate and Peter on this special? Because I didn't see it in the notes, and I don't remember much about the special itself.
Okay. Well, the special was shown on December 28th, 1979, and it was an hour-long TV special of Kate performing her songs, either at the piano, in the case of December Will Be Magic Again, and also, like, outright performing a lot of her other songs like Violin, The Wedding List, Egypt, and also Rantan Waltz. And actually, those last couple songs that I mentioned are going to be on Never Forever. Although in the case of Rantan Waltz, that was a B-side. This was something she did for TV, presumably after the tour of Life was done. And it was just another way of her performing for a live audience. In this case, it something in a studio, and then they put it all together, and then they show it for a Christmas special. Christmas specials are a thing that we don't really have as much of in the United States. And certainly watching this Christmas special, we've got a song where she's wandering around as a murderous bride in The Wedding List. And then she's playing pretty piano music with December Will Be Magic Again. And then doing this song with Peter Gabriel. Like, none of the songs have anything to do with Christmas except for December Will Be Magic Again. It's just they decide to show this for Christmas. But, I mean, Christmas specials aren't too much of a thing here. And if they are, it is strictly about Christmas, like the Lady Gaga Christmas special that we watched a couple years ago, for example. So this was supposed to be something that I guess she put this together as a way of showing her music for a TV audience, like people who might not have gone to the Tour of Life. In Under the Ivy, the biography by Graham Thompson, he doesn't speak very favorably about this television special. He says that the television special was an odd construct. Clearly intended to mark a progression from the tour, it's likely that embroiled as she was in the early stages of Never Forever, Bush was never quite able to give it the time and devotion it required. Stuart Avon Arnold, again paired with Gary Hurst as one of Bush's dance partners, they were also the two guys that danced with her for her tour, can't remember a single thing about making it. Kate ended up
clearly
as...
Clearly an important...
Yeah, it's like, this is so important, and we can't remember anything. Kate ended up as more of a scrawled footnote to the Tour of Life than a next chapter. Broadcast on December 28th, the show featured revised versions of Them Heavy People, The Man with a Child in His Eyes, Symphony in Blue, and Don't Put Your Foot on the Heartbreak, as well as new material.
So the special was just called Kate.
Yeah. Okay. I call it the Kate Bush Christmas special.
But it was just Kate.
Yeah, it was just called Kate. In fact, in the beginning, it's, the beginning credits are so 70s. With a show, and like her hand comes on screen in a glittery thing going, Kate! Very theatrical. A mixture of pre-filmed sequences, dramatic in-studio set pieces, and a handful of straight-at-the-piano musical performances. Some of the footage, admittedly, was marvelous. Much of the rest, however, ended up looking cheap and rather silly. Still, it's worth watching for two unforgettable, never-to-be-repeated moments. Bush sang Another Day, Roy Harper's beautiful song of domestic fracture, as a moving duet with Peter Gabriel, heralded, inevitably, as the Angel Gabriel, who later reappeared to perform an equally stunning solo version of his own Here Comes the Flood. In the book it says Lost in the Flood, but it's actually Here Comes the Flood, which rather stole the show. Again, Bush said nothing to the audience throughout. This time, however, the suspension of disbelief was a little harder to hold. Because her whole thing when performing was that she wouldn't address the audience. Instead, she isn't one of those people who would come out and go like, hey, yo, how you doing? Instead, it's, I am putting on a show. I am playing a character. It's very theatrical, of course. Mm-hmm. So that's what Graham Thompson had to say about this song, and also just the overall impression of the special we were talking about. That was the only time they ever did this song. So it was just, I get the impression it was just done to show her off for a bigger audience. In this case, a TV watching audience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people that are sitting around, they're done opening the presents, and they turn on TV. Hey, what's on the TV? Oh, hey, there's Kate Bush on TV. Woohoo. This was something only ever done for the Christmas special, and it's, to me, it's notable for the fact that this was the first time that people got to actually see Kate and Peter performing together. They did perform prior to this on her tour of life. They did a special benefit concert for Bill Duffield, who is the lighting engineer who died the day before the tour was supposed to start. And they knew each other, Kate and Peter knew each other, because they both used this same guy, Bill Duffield, as their lighting engineer. And so they happened to be kind of in the same circles. And they did, they performed I Don't Remember. No, actually, I do remember. I Don't Remember. They did I Don't Remember. And the woman with the child in her eyes, Let It Be, and Them Heavy People during this special show. And actually, I remember talking about their version of Them Heavy People in the episode and all that. So they had performed together before, but that was in concert and it was never televised. This collaboration between them is notable for me because it was the first time that TV audiences, and therefore a wider group of people, got to see them performing together. And I know that he played such a big part in her musical evolution, especially for the album that's going to be coming up, Never Forever. That's the reason this song is notable to me. I mean, she didn't write it. Neither one of them did. It's a cover. So when you're looking at a song that she didn't write, you're not really looking into her so much as a writer, because she didn't write those lyrics. It's more about her interpretation of this other person's lyrics. It's especially like the song I did last week with Zoe for The Magician. That was one she didn't write. It was Marie Jarre and Paul Webster. And in this case, it was Roy Harper who originally wrote this song. Yeah, so this song first appeared on Roy's album Flat, Baroque, and Berserk in 1970. I love that title. It was recorded in September 1969 at Abbey Road Studios, the famous Abbey Road Studios. And it's pretty simple, his original version. It's a dude and a guitar, pretty much.
The kettle's on. The sun has gone, another day. She offers me Tibetan tea on a flower tray. She's at the door, she wants to score. She dearly needs to say, I loved you a long time ago, you know, where the winds on forget-me-nots blow. But I just couldn't let myself go, not knowing what on earth there was to know. But I wish that I had, cause I'm feeling so sad that I never had one of your children.
I mean, you were listening to a little bit before this episode. What did you think of the original version?
It's the best version.
Okay.
I'm sorry to come on a Kate Bush podcast and not say that she did the greatest version, but the Roy Harper version, I feel is it's what it's supposed to be. It's him telling a story about a failing relationship, and it's his story. And it fits his voice, and it fits his storytelling, it fits his music. I like the Kate Bush, Peter Gabriel version, but to me it feels... have they recorded Don't Give Up yet at this point?
Oh no, Don't Give Up didn't happen until mid-80s.
Alright, well, I mean,
right around Hounds of Love.
I'm glad that this exists, because I feel like... I feel like that without this, maybe Don't Give Up wouldn't exist, because it's... Yeah, it's a collaboration between them. It's a similarly emotional song. Their singing styles are somewhat similar on the two. But to me, it feels just kind of like a rough demo of we're going to try and sing this song together. But I don't get a lot of deep emotion from Peter or Kate on their version. The Roy Harper version feels kind of it's a proper folk song. It's a proper British country song. It's someone telling a personal story, and it does all fit together for me. I really don't feel like it works as a duet. I think that's actually probably the main thing. Is as I think back to listening to it several times, in the last hour, I really just don't feel like it works as a duet. I think it's a single person's story.
Yeah, the kettle's on, the sun is gone, another day. She offers me Tibetan tea on a flower tray. She's at the door, she wants to score, she dearly needs to say, I loved you a long time ago, you know, where the wind zone forget-me-nots blow. I love that line. Kate may not have written the song, but I like that line. But I just couldn't let myself go, not knowing what on earth there was to know. But I wish that I had, because I'm feeling so sad that I never had one of your children. Like, there's a lot of regret in this song. Like, it feels like it's two people that, like, kind of wanted to do particular things, and they just never did. And maybe the singer is acknowledging that, yeah, things could have been different, but their relationship is so fractured that by the end, and at the door, we can't say more than just another day, and without a sound, I turn and walk away. It's like, we know that something bad has happened, but we're too far along. We can't do anything about it.
It feels very personal like that, and I think splitting it up into a duet, I don't really see a clear character break in the lyrics.
That is true. I kind of wondered that too when I was listening and looking at the lyrics, like, okay, where's the girl supposed to be? Where's the guy? And all that.
Yeah, I mean, I wish that I had, because I need you so bad, I should have had one of your children, is about the only one that easily translates to being the woman singing. And even there...
That could also be the guy saying
it. Yeah, it could be him saying, I wish I had been the father of one of your children. As a individual's sad song, I respect the song. I don't know that I love it, but I respect it. But as a duet, it feels just the breaking up of the lyrics between two different singers and trying to make the lyrics about a man and a woman instead of just the man's thoughts. I think it's one of those rare cases where it needs to stay completely personal and be one person.
Good. So, I can see that.
I mean, I enjoy their singing together on it.
I do.
I just think it's not as good.
I do wonder what made her want to do this song.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
Because Kate has never said anything about the song, like why she picked it. Like, of all Roy Harper songs, and I looked at his Wikipedia page, looking up stuff for this episode, like looking up more about him. He's been very prolific. Like, why this one? Is it, I mean, it feels like such, it also feels like such a mature song. Not just, now, I mean, Kate's music up to this point, she has talked about very, like, you're like, wow, you have a lot of insight for being a 20-year-old. But this feels like something, like, that would has more gravitas from somebody who's a little bit older, I guess. I really wish I knew why she chose to do this song. I really do. But, you know, Kate has never spoken about it. Peter's never spoken about it. And in fact, it was thought about being released as a single. I mean, obviously they recorded a studio version of it because what's playing in the Christmas special, that's not them singing live. They're lip syncing it. Like, there's no way that that is sung live because you get all the stacks of vocals behind her as he's getting kind of loud on the verse about the I must take her and I must make her while the dove demands and feel the juices run as she flies. Like, there's no way you can do that kind of stuff live. At least at the time you couldn't. but it was just never officially released, and the only way you could hear it was on the Christmas special.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder, why did she choose this song? We will never know.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, it's fun to wonder, but we won't know because, like you said, the dancers who helped her with this special don't even remember most of the work they did on the special.
Yeah.
So you've never been able to dig up anything about, like, Peter Gabriel being asked about the song or
nope.
or the original artist being asked about it. In context of Kate Sink covering it?
No. I mean, she did end up working with Roy Harper on other songs that I'll get to talk about. In the Never Forever season, I'll get to talk about Kate singing on one of Roy Harper's songs with David Gilmour. I mean, the guy who discovered her.
Mm-hmm.
I'll get to talk about that one. And then there's one later on. It's a song called Once. And that's going to go in with the Sensual World season because she did that in 1990.
What was the chart performance of this song at the time?
It was never released as a single, so there's no chart performance of it.
That is a very...
It's always been an album track. However, when I dug up stuff about Roy Harper doing this song live, it seems to be pretty well known among other fans. Like, in fact, Roy Harper has even said that he considers this one of his best love songs.
Okay. I mean, maybe that's ultimately what it is that Roy Harper likes this song a lot, and that he and Kate were friends or, you know, business or music writing associates, and just through those contexts she wanted to cover this one. I mean,
could be.
I really wish that we could know the true reason, but I think that's one of those ones mm-hmm. that's just going to be lost forever unless you somehow manage to interview Kate Bush.
Oh, and that would absolutely be awesome. It would be really awesome if Kate Bush knew about this project.
Well, if anybody out there knows Kate Bush and wants to put you in contact,
you can find me. You can either email me, kbcast@linkmedia.com, kbcast.linkmedia.com for my website, or if she's on Facebook, maybe she's on Facebook, facebook.com/KateBushPodcast. Or she could even tweet at me. Her management could tweet at me @StrangeKateCast. That would be awesome. I mean, I'm with you. This isn't a favorite. I mean, I kind of had to listen to this a couple times. Like, how does this one go? Because it's not a favorite. I mean, she didn't write it, so it doesn't really stick out to me.
I mean, I'll take it over the Elizabeth Fraser version.
Okay, so, yeah, Roy Harper, obviously, he was the one that originally did the song, and then Kate and Peter. Then there's a version by This Mortal Coil featuring Elizabeth Fraser of the Cocteau Twins, who I know of from listening to Flashback Alternatives. They played a lot of Cocteau Twins. And also, we know her because she sang on Teardrop by Massive Attack. So, what do you think of her version?
I don't hate it. I wouldn't mind having it on in the background, but it's very much kind of a electronic, pretty vocals over music background track to me. It's like listening to like Sleep Thief for Enigma or something like that. I don't dislike it, but I'm probably never going to seek it out again. You It's background music to me. It's pretty voice over electronics, and I feel like the lyrics are treated less as a story than as just syllables to be sung over the music and be part of the music. And that's the whole reason I prefer the original Roy Harper version, is that this is, I feel, a folk song, a country song, a story song, and it needs to be somebody who has an emotion about the story, telling the story. And I don't know that it should just be used as art.
Mm-hmm. Well, and part of the Cocteau Twins' sound was Elizabeth Frazier singing random syllables over music, kind of in a, I guess, trying to do like something called mouth music, where you're just doing random syllables, and it's more about like the melodies and the sound of the voice rather than what that person is actually saying, like having intelligible lyrics. And I guess that's what she was trying to do in that version of Roy of Another Day, but I'm with you. It's just, it's background music to me. It's pretty, but it's much less of a story song. And I feel like for this kind of style of lyrics, you want to be able to understand all the lyrics.
Yeah.
It's just very sad.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. And like listening to Peter and Kate singing this, like, It's interesting also for me just to hear like her voice, to me feels like it's evolving a little bit. She's starting to sound a little bit like more like how she sounds on Never Forever, and she was working on that at the time that this was done. So it makes sense. Yeah, it's a very sad, it's very sad song. Anyway.
Do I have to play you happier music to cheer you up after this?
Nah, I'll go downstairs and eat some chocolate and I'll be good.
I mean, I'm looking for more to say, darling.
Me too!
But the fact is that it's not a bad song. It's
no,
just,
it's not.
It just doesn't leave me with a huge impression.
I have no personal, I'm going to be honest, I have no personal connection to this song, really. When I looked up stuff, extra songs that she did during, like, kind of this era, 1979 to 1980, this song came up and went, oh yeah, and so I have to add it to the list, because she sang on it, but I personally don't have personal connection to this.
Yeah, I mean, if you wanted to, we could dig into the lyrics line by line, but A, it's a story song, so I don't think that's 100% necessary. And B, it's not by Kate.
Exactly.
So, I mean, we would just be trying to do like a third degree of separation psychological yeah. analysis of, so, 50 years later, why did Kate choose this song to sing when this lyric was written by...
Yeah. Because you're not, like I said earlier, we're not looking into this song as Kate is a lyricist, because she didn't write it. It's more about her performance.
Yeah, and her performance is fine. Peter Gabriel's performance is fine. Watching the video,
I feel like the way they performed it on the Christmas special fit the song really well. I felt like it fit like the whole, oh, we got a couple, they've been together a while, and they're both like in their own separate areas, and that's why they're not even facing each other.
Yeah, that is definitely true. It's it's a nice interpretation of the song. Just watching it, I just keep going back to the, why are two people singing this? I feel like it would have been better as...
Actually, it might have even been better with just her singing on it.
Yeah, just because... one of them singing on it and the other one sitting there being distant, I feel like would have been a better song.
Okay.
I don't know. It's hard to say, and we probably need to cut out all of my mumbling and hard to say and blah, blah, blahing. It's just...
whatever. I knew this was probably going to be a shorter episode, because there's not really a whole lot about this song, really.
Yeah.
I mean, she herself hasn't said anything. Peter hasn't said anything. I went and looked on different biographies about him, and, like, there's barely a mention of this.
Yeah, I feel like this was something that happened... and maybe was a gateway to further collaboration later, but...
about all I can really say of this song, is that, oh, this was the beginning of Kate and Peter working together, and then Kate working with Roy Harper.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah, I think as a gateway, it deserves to be remembered. As a piece of visual art, is interesting to see them sitting across the table from each other and to have the picture frame television playing out some sort of acting. But it wasn't even like acting out the motions of the song. It was mostly them still just being at the table, being more animated.
Well, so. I feel like the stuff going on in the little frame was supposed to be like their memories.
Yeah.
As they're remembering how their relationship got torn apart.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at the very end where she said, you know, and I turn and walk away, in that little picture frame, Kate does turn around and walk away.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you're right. I feel like it's more like in the picture frame, it's them remembering as their relationship falls apart.
Yeah, and I don't know, the video just kind of leaves me cold. It leaves me just with this sad impression that neither one of them is going to make the effort to repair the relationship, but they're also not going to get up the guts to end it. They're just going to keep sitting there and being cold, and I'm sorry, I guess... I believe in reconciliation or action. If you can't have reconciliation, then there should be positive action in another direction. And just sitting there coldly staring off into the distance, ignoring each other as you sing this split up song in a way that shouldn't have been split.
Mm-hmm.
It's just sad.
It is. But it was the start of Kate and Peter working together on a more regular basis.
Oh, absolutely. And I will watch and listen to Don't Give Up 100 times before I listen to this one again.
Right. Well, and I especially can't wait to talk about Games Without Frontiers, No Self-Control, and all that for the next season. Yay! I love this one. Conclusion, I guess we finished. It's been another episode. All done.
Why am I even sitting across from you? Because should be staring into the distance.
No way. We're supposed to talk about this song, and we already did.
But I shouldn't even talk. I don't even have the emotional weight to talk to you about this problem anymore.
Not even if I make you Tibetan tea on a flower tray.
I'm not even going to drink the tea. There's nothing left at all.
Oh. Well, now I'm feeling so sad. And really, my dear, I can't see what we fear.
Whatever. I can't even get up enough emotion to walk out right now.
Me neither. I'm just going to sit here. Anyway. the beginning of Kate and Peter working together... which is going to show up
for... Not every collaboration begins with a bang. Sometimes you start with a whimper.
Yeah, I mean, we all got to start somewhere. So, yeah, he's going to show his influence definitely shows up on Never Forever, and I cannot wait to start digging into that album. So this here concludes the Lionheart season. I'm done with all the album tracks. I talked about The Magician, super, super rare song that, like this song, has never been released in any kind of capacity, but these days can be found on YouTube, because this is 2018.
Ah, but remember, the movie still can't be
found. Yeah, the movie, The Magician of Loveland's like, it's like, trying to find a needle in a haystack.
We're going
to
put it out right now. If any of you Kate fans out there have a VHS copy of The Magician of Lublin and can...
Yes, because I tried to find a version before I recorded the episode with Zoe, and that ended up...
I don't know that we'd be willing to pay a lot for it, but at least cover shipping, because I am curious to see this.
I know! I want to see this.
I could not find it anywhere. We tried rare movie stores. We tried eBay. We tried YouTube. We searched every corner of the interwebs, and I could not find this movie in physical or digital form, other than like a little 5-minute clips here and there. So,
maybe if you have a copy, let me know, kbcast@linkmedia.com. We'd be curious to see this. And however, for this one, though, for another day, you can find the footage of them performing this on YouTube. Yeah, there goes another episode, another season done. I can't believe, I'm not even... Actually, it was about a year ago at this time, because we're recording this on Memorial Day here in the U.S. It's the last Monday of the month, the last Monday of May. And a year ago at this time, I think, was when I came up with the idea for this project.
Pretty much.
And I'm already done with the second season. Going to be starting a third season, so yay! Speaking of which, for the next season we have coming up is all about Never Forever. I've already recorded one episode. I've recorded an episode on Blow Away for Bill, the third song. However, I am looking for people who would like to talk about any of the Never Forever songs, including the album tracks, as well as the B-sides. So, if you are a fan of any of the Never Forever album songs, as well as the B-sides such as The Empty Bullring, Rantan Waltz, Passing Through Air, December Will Be Magic Again, Warm and Soothing, Kidnapped on a Building Site, You, the song that she did with Roy Harper and David Gilmour, and also Flowers, which was the song that she sang with Zane Grif in 1982, right before The Dreaming was released. If you are a fan of any of those songs, please get in contact with me. I'm going to start recording episodes next month because I don't have students. I have a lot more time on my hands to record stuff and talk with people about Kate. You can find me either on Twitter at StrangeKateCast. You can find me on Facebook, facebook.com/KateBushPodcast, and also kbcast@linkmedia.com. That's Link with an E.
And
love
she
to
did
hear
not,
from you.
Yeah, and Cecily did not forget about No Self-Control as a B-side.
Of course.
I've just already called dibs on that because it's a Peter Gabriel track.
You are basically my you're my resident Peter Gabriel person.
Well, if anyone else loves the Peter Gabriel tracks, they're welcome to send in voice memos, or if they really want to schedule a phone call, I'm sure we'd be happy to have them add their commentary.
Yep.
But I'm more than willing to talk about the Peter Gabriel ones, even the ones that are emotionless and depressing.
Like this one. Anyway, so that's what we're going on. That I'm going to be taking a break of a couple weeks while I record stuff, because I like having at least several episodes in the can before I go, hey, let's go release this stuff. So I want to make sure this is nice and consistent. Well, thank you very much, honey, for coming up here and talking about music with me.
Happy to do that.
Yay. Even on a very, very sad song like this one.
How can I be sad when I'm talking to you?
Aww, same here. I love you, my goodness. Anyway, well, thank you all so much for listening, and we will see everybody next time for the start of Never Forever. Yay! Woohoo! Woohoo! Woohoo!